Don't miss one hell's game!
It's on the way. Plenty of leg. Good!
It's football time in the Bluegrass. You're listening to the KSR Football Podcast.
Welcome into the KSR Football Podcast presented by our good friends at Justice Dental. I'm Nick Roush with Freddie Maggard and Drew Franklin, two happy customers at Justice Dental. That do you all change up locations? Do you go to both? I know they got two great ones.
I go off Blazer, but I did, in an emergency situation, had to go over to their other location. Can vouch for both, but yeah. I stay loyal to mine on my side of town.
I've been to both. I had a little surgery over on Blazer, mm-hmm. and then go to the other one.
So you're over off, was it Wellington?
Wellington, yeah.
I didn't know we were at rival locations.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I'm a Wellington guy.
Well, I'm a Blazer. Well, that's how we roll.
Charles, we're out in the dark right now, but we need to get over
I
Justice Dental.
Check out both
because they are a one-stop shop. A lot of places make you go all over town if you got to get something fancy done. Not Justice Dental. So go visit them online today. We thank Justice Dental so much for partnering with the KSR Football Podcast. Need your teeth clean? Hit up Justice Dental. We did take a slight break for Labor Day. Chuck was still busy getting his notes, his extensive note-taking from the Clemson-Georgia game. And, man, that is one thick legal pad. You really went above and beyond.
Yeah, you know, I went the old-fashioned way and did. My pencil kind of ran out, though, halfway through, so I only have a couple notes.
Pencil ran out.
We can – yeah, it just broke out. Someone stole it. It ran out. So I got next to me had a pen. It was out of ink.
Oh, no.
I think it actually – my baggage, it got lost.
No.
I mean, it just remember some of it. So I'll just go off the top.
Well, was Charlotte everything you hoped for and more?
It wasn't Kroger Field on the first.
What is?
Exactly. So I will say, hearing the crowd through the TV on Wandale's first touchdown made me really miss not being at Kroger Field.
Did you bring back your scouting report as was directed by Drew Franklin, who is one of the bosses at KSR, by the way?
It's all in my head.
Oh,
it's
okay, good. The mental notes. Those are the most important. But you did miss a beautiful day at Kroger Field. There wasn't a cloud in the sky to watch the Cats just completely roll ULM in a 45-10 win. Freddie, I like that they told us just to go ULM. It makes something about Louisiana. I always just get the first time around, you know, like I get the letters all out of order. Like
it's a big word.
Yeah, in the O's and I, there's just a lot of vowels, you know. So they made it easy on us, just like they made it easy on Kentucky, because they were not a very good football team. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It was fun to watch the Cats go out there and beat up on somebody that's not just practice jerseys of the other team.
I got corrected a few times because apparently I was saying Monroe instead of Monroe. So
That's because you're from the mountains.
That's right.
That's how everyone says it.
Yeah, of course. Man, it was a lot of fun. I know we were really bullish on the first quarter last week, guys. This is where we were exercising our gambling muscles.
Mm-hmm.
We forgot that the first half, there's more time to make up for mistakes, and the one mistake being Abule putting his hand into somebody's helmet and taking it off. Because if that doesn't happen, I mean, cover city.
That and then the whole Josh Ali, Will Levis needing an extra play to get on the same page there in the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
I think we'll split the blame there on both those guys. There was no point where we thought Kentucky would lose the game, but there was that groan like, oh, did we get too excited again?
Yeah.
But luckily that got corrected very quickly.
That was like a fart in the wind, Freddie. You know, that worry, it just kind of passed just like that.
Yeah,
it was a quick stink, but gone.
Another play that prevented a score was when Kavassier Smoke dropped the pass in the 2-minute drill. Then Levis got sacked.
Yeah.
And just, you know, played it out. But those were more points. There were a lot of points left on the board. I mean, obviously, I don't think Kentucky showed much at all. Going back and watching it for a second and third time, I don't think The playbook was very deep for what Kentucky needed to do to beat an outmatched team.
Well, it's funny you say that because even though it wasn't, having watched Kentucky football the last few years, with all due respect to everyone on those teams, it felt like I was just watching some kid playing Madden. Like it was the craziest playbook I'd ever seen just because the ball was going farther than 15 yards down the field.
Yeah.
Well, and they didn't show up maybe in the actual plays, but in the assignment, alignment, the formations and stuff, you're like, wow, that's the seventh different formation I've seen in seven plays.
Yeah.
Like they're five wide, motion in into three. You know, there was a lot of – at least they gave Missouri a lot to look at.
You're going
to
see a lot more Saturday. Just put it that way.
Well, and that's what was good too is you had all this fun on the setup plays.
Yeah.
You know, like – and you had the – thing we haven't seen in a long time. I know Charles can't relate to this, but open wide receivers, like, even when Chuck was open, it was, you know, they were on you, you know. You had to make a little move in traffic.
Because I was slow back in the day. That's what you're saying. Damn.
He's right here. He can hear you.
Yeah.
I'm not
week and all, but God.
See, Chuck, this wasn't a shot at you. This was more of a, like, hey, let's run a play that goes to the empty part of the zone kind of deal and find
like
the
that.
Dude that's running wide open. On after that first the interception on the first pass, the next time they go down, Stoops said he was like, all right, get the ball to Wandale and run a play action, and Wandale's got a comeback. And he was open for so long, I'm like, Will, throw it. Just get it. Hurry. He's going to be covered up. And, like, once that first completion happened, then you get another one. He pulls the pin. He lets one rip deep. I think everybody could kind of relax ever so slightly knowing that, hey, they got this.
Yeah, you know, it was honestly a first time in a while we've seen deep balls that weren't either severely underthrown or severely overthrown, which, again, you know, they weren't – I guess they could have caught our receivers in stride, so you would say, but, you know, they're taught to put it on their head, and that's what Levis was doing all day long.
Yeah, and I think, too, Chuck – The underthrown part, I mean, Levis, he said that he probably underthrew a few of them because he wasn't used to the game speed that those guys run at, you know? So,
absolutely. And you know, it's about a, you know, mile – or, sorry, yeah, 1 mile and a half, but MPH. But, I mean, you're running faster in the game just due to all that.
Probably a step faster.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But you – so they track the GPS. I'm surprised we haven't seen something come out of UK Sports Performance yet. But, you know, we're running down on kickoff, say, on Wednesday in practice, and, you know, I'd run 19 miles an hour, whatever it is, or Jeff Bidette would run 20. You catch it on Saturdays, Jeff Bidette's popping out 23 miles an hour, and it's just, again, due to all that adrenaline first game. And
right.
I think you can attribute some of Ali's tip and that first pick on some adrenaline. He hadn't played a game in front of that many fans in 2 years. And
yeah.
And the ball wasn't perfect, but he came back and caught a curl route after, and I went, all right, he's settled down.
Yeah.
And then we connected on some of those big plays. It was it's a good game.
There was a lot of settling down that needed to happen, Drew, but I don't think the fans were, because that was, like, just the most pristine, like, we're back.
Oh, yeah, especially some of it's just poetic. Like, Wandell's first catch is a touchdown. Everybody's excited to have him back. I mean, it wasn't poetic, the interception on the first play. But just having not just – we saw a little bit of a passing attack come back. I mean, they put stats up – stat that you haven't had two receivers with over 100 yards in a decade.
Yeah.
Stuff like that helped add to it. And me personally, I love just as much as I like seeing the ball fly. I liked how comfortable and kind of fearless Levis looked. A couple times he had an open guy that he could have checked down to, but he waited because he wanted that deep ball. He wanted to take those shots. And that's just a mindset we haven't seen in a long time.
Especially on that Epps ball, Freddie.
The best play he had was a pass to Epps on the sideline. Cover two, gear down, check down, however you want to call it, Charles.
Mm-hmm. Shot.
A couple things in that play. One is he had the moxie to make that throw. I mean, you have to be courageous and you have to have some attitude to make that throw. That you cannot be hesitant at all. Two, he read it perfectly. And three, he had the arm strength to go from left hash to right sideline between the corner and the safety, about 40 yards. The ball probably traveled 50 yards downfield.
Yeah.
That is a rare, rare throw. I mean, not too many quarterbacks in college football can make that throw. That's what I was most impressed
especially
by.
Especially when he had a check down, I think it was like 3rd and 7. He probably had a guy at the sticks on the left hand. And I'm like, just throw it, get the first down.
Absolutely.
And he's like, nope, we're going for it all. And then on the receiving end, too, Isaiah Epps, that's a guy, Chuck, you talked about last week that has had a lot of injuries. And I was one of those who's like, man, he might just be done. You know, he might not have it in him anymore. And he went out there and proved, like, hey, I've still got some left in the tank. I'm back. I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, again, you know, I can always use the gazelle reference when I think about him, just those long legs. I mean, he's one of our fastest players out there. From an explosiveness standpoint, yeah, you give it Wandell or Ali, but from just running a post route, Epps is probably the fastest.
One thing I liked about Wandell, too, is we always think of just his speed, but, like, dude gets his nose dirty.
Oh, he ran over those dudes on that one touchdown. And then he was, like, a little hurt. I'm going, oh, God, just – yeah, I don't know if you're big enough to be doing that. But
take it easy.
His most impressive wasn't even on the touchdown. I was just rewatching the game this morning, and I didn't notice in real time, but there was one play where it's a first down, it's a long play, but he takes about 7 hits and keeps standing up and bouncing off guys, and I thought he was eventually going to break completely free, but they group him up and bring him down.
He had a couple.
He definitely showed a lot of strength with that speed.
Had a couple cuts on his forehead after the game. He also, I don't know how he got the punt he fumbled.
God, I don't know either.
There was like 7
guys
right there.
I chalked that one up to it was gone. I never got a replay on that.
Yeah, I don't know how.
I think it was one of those. There might have been some pinching or whatnot underneath that pile, and we just came out with it. Okay, it was ours now.
Whatever it takes.
This is also the part of the podcast that I think definitely maybe we as all need to issue our friend Charles Walker an apology. Chuck, fair catch jokes are done. I never again. Just catch
how
it.
How long will this last? Over under 3 weeks.
No,
3 hours before the next
I'm
one.
I'm only there right now. You owe us an apology. Drew, again, one of the bosses of KSR, told you to go to the game in uniform.
Mm-hmm.
We saw no pictures, no proof of you wearing a uniform in Charlotte.
Listen, American Airlines, they have a limit on your baggage. And I wasn't taking my shoulder pads and my helmet and my cleats. That's a heavy bag.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a $100 bill right there.
I thought they pay you to fly with them, all the traveling you do.
This is a sponsor for you, American Airlines. Here you go. Now maybe I should get paid.
Free plug.
Well, NIL? I did. We aren't sucking up. In the middle of the game, in the press box, I can't remember if I turned to Nick or he turned to me, but we joke about Charles a lot, but could really use him back there occasionally.
Just, especially whenever Josh, like, just go catch it. Because how many yards do you lose on a bounce, Freddie? Like, you get a bad hop. Like, it's 10 yards. I know that there's guys coming to your face. Like, that job is very difficult. But if you just wave your hand and go catch the ball, you save everybody. They got to get out of your way if you wave your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So that hidden yardage stuff, that's the stuff that you don't really care too much about until it really matters, but like it, just catch it. That's my one complaint. All right, I got my one complaint out for the day. No more complaints about the performance against ULM.
Well, I mean, we've talked positive, and everything about this game, most everything was positive for Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hidden yardage out there. Like you brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
Chance Poor, 6 of 7 kickoffs went into the end zone. One went out of bounds. That's hidden yardage.
Yeah.
Zach Johnson brought a kickoff back 4 yards in out of the end zone.
It was after the touchdown, and he was like, I'm going to go be a hero. And it's like, dude.
7 penalties, 65 yards. That's not good.
Yeah.
4 allowed quarterback sacks against a team like Louisiana and Monroe has to get cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's concerning.
Especially
only rushing for 145 yards also. I know he rushed for 179 minus the sacks. And, again, you go back to the sacks.
Yeah.
It's not a concern. But Kentucky's going to have to run the ball much better against Missouri to keep them off balance. But you and I are going to talk – I'm sure we're going to talk about it in a little bit. What Missouri does defensively, Will Levis needs to be TJ. Make them pay, right? Because if you blitz, you need to make them pay for that by hitting vertical shots. And the vast majority of coverage that I saw Missouri play against Central Michigan, which was a different game than Kentucky play against ULM because that was a close one.
Oh yeah, down the wire.
Was press man with a free safety, pretty much to make it simplistic, and you beat that by going over top. And mm-hmm. Kentucky's going to have to do that if the Cats can get that aspect going and get Rodriguez going. And I think Kentucky could be okay.
I think some of the running too. How many times did we think Rodriguez was going to bust it?
47.
Especially there where we can see the whole field. There were a couple times. I thought, you know, well, here's another highlight reel and just a shoestring tackle at the last second would bring him down.
Running up the right side.
Yeah.
Was, I mean, there was no one there.
No one.
Yeah. I will say I kind of thought he was running high all day long. You know, he had that one where he did break 10 tackles, what it felt like 10 tackles. Probably was actually 8, yeah. Which is still crazy.
I actually did count. I think it was 8 or 9. Yeah.
But he was running high. I mean, you watch those games like last night, Ole Miss's running back that completely trucked that dude.
Put him in a coffin.
Dude from the University of wherever that was from that was on last night.
Bishop Sycamore, University of Sycamore. Yeah.
I mean, they're running low and they're attacking. I just thought – I thought Rodriguez played well, but, again, he just seemed to be running high.
Yeah. He also, like, said afterwards too, you know, A, like that – part of this offense, I've got to be able to make a man miss. There's going to be a guy that gets unblocked, and I've got to do that. I think, too, Freddie, if you haven't been tackled in the preseason at all, it might take a little while to get going. And there's also just the aspect, too, that we've mentioned but haven't really hammered home a lot. Like, there's going to be an adjustment period versus just hitting a hole in inside zone and then versus reading the stretch outside and kind of taking some time to let the play develop.
If anything, I think he was too eager. Yeah. And that's understandable, and that's what you want. What's Mark Stoops say? He'd rather say whoa than giddy up.
Yeah.
I think that's with Chris Rodriguez because I think he was eager to make plays for his offense, and he understood the opponent and the opportunity for explosive plays to occur. And I just think that he was just overly anxious to make that explosive, and he's going to be just fine. But again – I agree, Nick. I think, you know, that outside zone, it's going to take a little bit of time to figure all that out. But one thing we didn't see Kentucky do is run bootlegs.
They ran one. And
Brendan Bates touchdown.
Yeah, and then the sack that Levis just rolled right into
but
the blitz.
But that's a big part of the offense that we did not see yet.
Levis actually using his legs.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much that you're going to see Saturday that you didn't see last Saturday. I'm excited to watch this game.
Combining your two topics there, Rodriguez and new things, he caught more passes. Well, yeah. I think he only had two, but that's more than I believe I've
two
ever seen
him catch.
2 for 10 yards.
Yeah.
One of them was a pretty nice catch.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Chris did go on to another podcast that's on the KSR Network run by a bunch of hooligans.
Yeah.
And they were ribbing him. They're like, oh, you actually caught it. Unlike that Georgia game, which,
oh,
man, that cuts real deep. That cuts real deep. That was
I feel back and forth beef with the current Kentucky football locker room in the Pin It Deep podcast. We got Mark Stoops talking about how Max is saying a little too much and he needs to get on there and put him in his place. We got, you know, C-Rod and Max jawing back and forth.
It's controversial.
Here's what's going to be interesting. Missouri's punter is Grant McInnes.
Oh, that's right.
So there's going to be some specialist hate going on. So.
A year ago, they covered the locker room with pictures of him, which I thought was funny because I think some of the new guys on Kentucky's team was like, who's this? Why are we getting pumped up for this guy?
That was pretty funny. that's high comedy. But you talked about Chris and the patience. There's something that I'd forgotten about. It reminds me of Benny Snell in 2017. You know, he has a great year in 16, but he's still the new guy. He's a true freshman with Boom Williams. He comes in that 2017 season, and he's just a box of dynamite trying to explode. And that first month of the season, Benny was not Benny. He did not play very well.
They were using the sophomore slump phrase a lot.
Yeah, that people were using that. And I know we rightfully gloss over it because he ended up getting it together, playing really well. But he was impatient because he was like, I'm finally the guy. I've got to go do everything. You know, might be getting a little bit with that with Chris. And you know what? I can't say – like, that's the human element of you're playing against ULM and you're just ready to go get 300 yards rushing.
Yeah, because he saw the receivers making the big plays, right?
He saw
Will Levis. He wanted part of that. Chris Rodriguez is fine, 100% fine. Yeah. He averaged 6.6 yards per carry.
I mean, that was a bad day.
And that's that's what he averaged last year, 6.6 yards per carry. So you know what you're going to get there.
He should be excited that they showed so much over the top. He's only going to get bigger windows moving forward.
Now, there will be home run opportunities with this man coverage that Missouri plays. And Missouri gave up a ton of explosive plays.
We're going to go back and talk about the UK defense versus ULM. But let's talk about this Missouri defense because, Freddie – I am fascinated by this strategy that Drinkwitz is going with because Drinkwitz, let's call a spade a spade. He beat Kentucky last year. He had a lot of success. I don't want to say playing conservatively, but they were kind of similar to Kentucky in that we're going to manage the game with Basilak, we're going to time up our shots right, and we're going to run the ball with Larry Roundtree. We're not going to get a ton at once, but we're going to time up our shots at the right time, something just Kentucky didn't do. But that's how Missouri won. It's not the most aggressive offensive approach. And he goes and hires a defensive coordinator that's just like,
here we go. Yeah. My guy's better than your guy. Let's go. I mean, that's what it is. It's man across the board.
They're just we're going to bring six.
They bring six, man up, Charles. Now, they do have a dynamic linebacker in there. Blaze, how you say his name? Allridge.
Yeah. That guy's a beast.
Rice transfer, leads the nation in tackles for loss and quarterback sacks. 10 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, 3.5 quarterback sacks, Charles. He was dynamic. Mm-hmm.
They had 9 in the game.
Yeah.
Most in the SEC.
Leads the nation in sacks, Missouri does. Tied with the lead for the nation in tackles for loss with 14 with Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So, high-risk, high-reward defense.
See, the risk, they also give up more big plays than any other defense in the SEC because they're pinning their ears back, saying, come on, try to beat us, Chips. And the Chips almost did.
475 yards.
Yeah.
That's what Michigan had.
They were winning in the first half, and if Missouri doesn't bust a big run late and set up a field goal, then, you know, I mean, Central Michigan just need to stop, get the ball back, and they can go tie the game.
Blaze is a guy to watch, though. If you're going to name yourself Blaze, like, what is that, an American Gladiator? You got to bring it. And he's got the long hair, the name, and he had the play, at least in that game.
Man, the American Gladiators had great names.
Of all the things we brought back, you know, all the nostalgia, let's recreate this. Where's my American Gladiators remake? Or didn't they try that, maybe?
I think they tried it and just people –
they tried to make it too new. Just give me exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Same format, same crappy gun that
tennis
shoots the
ball,
tennis balls.
Yeah.
All of it. Anyway,
instead now they have, like, actual bodybuilders who just aren't, like, on steroids, you know, and – those people are just some kind of – now they do the American Ninja Warrior, which that's not as cool.
Not as cool at all. Not as cool.
What is cool that does need to get brought back, Most Extreme Challenge, MXC. Y'all remember MXC?
It was good.
Spike TV, and they would dub over. It was like the Japanese game show.
Yeah. They would talk over it.
Yeah.
It's good for laughs.
That big rolling ball down the hill, and you had to make it in like the little
– yeah. It's basically Whiplash, but much more comedic.
Yeah, much funnier. Like Missouri.
Yeah. They're hilarious. They're a very Missouri thing, too, that
what happened found out today. On the day of at the Missouri game? That's the only thing I can think of.
Missouri, they are taking 2 planes because the airport in Columbia is under construction. So they have to ship half of the team on a bus to St. Louis to fly to Lexington. Yeah. How much would that suck, John, if you get put on
terrible.
The second plane?
We didn't have to do that, but flying out of Hale State senior year, we had to take 3 planes just due to the airport there. And I'll never forget Frank Bufano yelling at, I guess, someone from the airport because they had screwed up and there wasn't a plane there ready. And it was like the maddest I think I've ever seen Buff. And I just was sitting there. Thinking, well, you know, we didn't play well, but at least I'm not that guy right there getting yelled at by Buff because that couldn't have been fun.
Gosh, that might have been the Vince game, too, that he went off.
Yeah.
When the press conference was happening.
Not a good showing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was that game. Mm-hmm. That was a brutal game.
Yeah, something like that happened to us. We went to Rutgers and lost in New Jersey, flew back, and whoever was in charge of transportation forgot to get the buses at the airport. So
jeez.
It was a night game. We flew back from New Jersey.
And you're stuck at
the
airport.
We sat at the airport for an hour and a half waiting on buses to get us back to campus.
Oh,
after
gosh.
Losing to Rutgers. After throwing 5 interceptions.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Make you think about
night.
It.
Your mood probably wasn't great.
No.
Well, and to this point, like, it's not going to be the end of the world, but coaches, they do not like any sort of inconvenience whatsoever. They do not like being thrown off their routine. So just, you know, something to keep in mind. Moving forward, let's talk about Kentucky's defense Saturday. Pretty good.
But no turnovers. What's that about?
You know what, though? I like it. It's something for Brad White to be like, I don't care how many sacks you have, if you're not getting me the ball. Because I love the week one, you beat up somebody, but you do just enough bad to where the coaches are going to show those, like, 3 clips and still just jump your ass.
Well, and I didn't think our third and medium and third and long defense was that stout. You know, at least on the first couple drives.
Yeah.
It seemed like we'd have a great first and second down, and then it'd be third and 13, and, you know, Rhett Rodriguez, Rhett and Rip Rod are dicing us up.
Mm-hmm. There is part of it, too, like the early jitters. But, like, who's going to run against Kentucky?
Nobody.
Not looking great for anyone. And of all the things to be excited about, I was the most excited about our boy J.J. Weaver. A, just the story of him making the comeback, but to have two sacks, and then it was funny, Coach Stoops didn't even know he had two sacks. We got to watch him find out looking at the box score. I thought, you know, with pass rush being one of the bigger questions, having him look the way he did is huge moving forward, adding him to what they already have.
Do you know how many attempts he had? How many plays
wasn't
he played?
Like 11? It wasn't many.
Yeah, 13.
13? 13. Two sacks in 13 plays?
Pretty good ratio. Good. Yeah.
Coming off an ACL injury way ahead of schedule. Yeah. I think we'll take that. Sophomore.
Yeah. And you know what I like too, Freddie, is we actually saw some blitzes.
Yeah.
Like, Kentucky may have kept it kind of vanilla offensively. You know, they showed a lot of formations. Defensively, it was a lot more than – it wasn't your old school Mark Stoops. We're going to sit back and cover three and – just take away the big play.
The defense was dynamic, lights out the entire game. I mean, just incredibly impressive. The veteran presence you could feel. You could feel the games that Yusuf Corker, Devontae Robinson, and those seniors that played 1,000 football games were playing with the ULM quarterback pre-snap and then rotating out. I mean, it was a beautiful thing to watch if you're into X's and O's and getting all that stuff because – you know, the fact that you have Jordan Wright, a senior, Yusuf Corker, senior, Devontae Robinson, DeAndre Square, all seniors in that middle of the defense that can play so many games that it's fun to watch. And they're going to confuse a lot of quarterbacks. And I think that they confused ULM in pre-snap and gave him a lot of misreads, misjudgments, miscalls. That's what I really enjoyed to see. I thought Octavius Oxendine looked more sudden, more twitchy.
The tackle on that screen.
Yeah.
Man, he was hauling ass.
Yeah.
But jeez.
Another thing that I saw was DeAndre Square was a step ahead of ULM on everything. He was processing, reading, getting to the play before the running back got there.
That one reverse he had, he almost could have just taken the ball and the handoff. Yeah. He was there so fast.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want to see from a senior linebacker is to process, analyze process, and then get going, and that's what he did.
Especially, like, Tyler Beatty, the Missouri running back.
He's good.
And he can be a home run guy on a back cut.
Yeah.
So – as long as they aren't over-pursuing in their run fits, then like that's huge. That's going to be something that they're probably going to give up maybe, you know, some 6-7 yard runs for Beatty. But if you can keep him from popping a 20-plus yarder, then you're winning this football game.
Well, I'll go back to being veteran also. A younger team, especially early in the game against Missouri, because they understand this is the game of the year, right? Mm-hmm. They understand that just as we do. They're going to be overly excitable. Over pursue, but the veteran team gonna play it smart, check in their pursuit lanes, and play responsibility football. That's why I like Kentucky's defense. The veteran present, you can just feel that. I mean, I could just feel how veteran experienced that defense was.
There's one veteran, if I may brag on him, new to a starting role, and he was the immovable object right there in the middle. My boy Bully, still a beast, but a little more agile.
Oh man. He still has the one. I love seeing the finger come up at the end of the play.
But really, three seniors up front, even though two of them are new in starting roles. I mean, Fitzgerald made the one mistake, but I thought they all looked great. And I love
– man.
Bully has added this new element where when Ruffalo makes an extra point, they meet together and dance together. And I think it's the greatest thing that's happened to UK football in years.
I also saw a photo of his family at the game. That Dr. Mike took, and I don't think anybody is having a better time at Kroger Field than Bully McCall's family.
Nope. Boom Williams' dad used to have that title. It is in trouble this year, I think.
Oh, man. Somebody with their shirt off. You had they have giant, like,
multiple fat heads.
And I hope they just do the one finger up the whole time. Like, I can just hear the nope, you know, like, oh, man. They look like they were getting after it.
That and the McCall Ruffalo buddy cop duo is not something not any of us saw coming, but it seems to be here.
I've not seen it.
Oh, after every extra point, Bully's waiting for him on the sideline to, to
it's
greet
him. It's pretty great. So something to keep an eye on this Saturday because we know that Ruffalo, his leg, it's going to be worn out from all the kicks. You know, just
45-yarder looked pretty damn good.
We're bragging on people.
Yeah, that was nice.
The spicy Italian meatball back at it.
And I also like to get him out. Like, ideally, you're just scoring touchdowns, but no, it's good to get him out there, get a game rep in under his belt.
Let people know that's still his job, and you know he's very consistent last year. Didn't get enough credit. Popping a 45-yarder right down the middle in the first game looked good to start this year.
Poor Florida State kicker. What?
Has there ever been a school plagued by kicking more than Florida State?
The whole thing, me, Freddie, is like, shouldn't the head coach know that? He's over there trying to over 10 yards, and instead he makes his kicker wait for 5 minutes.
And it wasn't exactly a chip shot either, was it?
It went from 50 to, I think, 38. Like, you know, okay, that's a pretty big difference.
Yeah.
But, man, Florida State was in the zone. Just
let him score.
Oh, man, I wanted them to win so bad. Not just because I had the Seminoles money line, but to have Milton come in and you're just like,
yeah,
he can run
on two bad knees. It's kind of the old baseball.
Yeah, it's a good story. Yeah.
His poor mother when they were showing her, like I just
they were crying their eyes out,
and she also was just it was the total like I don't know how I can't like I'm just emotion. There was no her hands were up. She was just like pacing, but like in one place. Man, I wanted him to pull that one out.
Yeah, it was a rough weekend for the ACC. Coming off of 0-6 bowl season to a really rough week one.
Are they kicked out of the Alliance yet? Did they embarrass the Alliance?
Well, I don't know.
Are the Pac-12 and are they already trying to break free from the Alliance?
I think the Alliance is okay though because UCF came back and won and Cincinnati won by
so
one.
So they saved
the
Alliance.
So the Americans saved the Alliance.
Okay. I didn't want the ACC embarrassing that big bad Alliance.
So the former American future Big 12, saved them. But man, There was some solid upsets. I did enjoy just watching Georgia just completely give DJU nightmares. That dude, who was the guy for the Jets that got caught on the hot mic saying he was seeing ghosts?
Sam Darnold.
That was DJU on Saturday night. They were all up in his head.
Looked to be quite a step down from Trevor Lawrence. Even though, his offensive line wasn't providing much help.
No.
That's not the Clemson I grew up on the last 3 years.
Couldn't run the ball at all. At all.
But, they're going to beat the crap out of a bad ACC schedule.
Yeah.
North Carolina blew it. That was embarrassing.
Yeah, the line for the Clemson to win it all still is plus 600. Because, like you said, they beat a pretty bad ACC schedule. Put it together for two games, and that's possible.
I'm not saying every year because Clemson has won two national championships, went toe-to-toe, and has been on quite a run with Dabo. But this season alone, Clemson is Gonzaga. They're going to run through what's Gonzaga, the Western
– West Coast.
Western Hemisphere or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just the way it is.
Beat up on everybody, and if they're at the end, they'll get killed.
And then everybody else is going to beat up on each other, you know. I mean, Georgia runs the table if – what reward do they get at the end of it?
I agree.
Alabama, who beat the snot out of Miami.
God, and they looked like a well-oiled machine once again.
Yeah, and even though Georgia won that game, the defense looked good. Charles, that offense, it was supposed to be the JT Daniels show, and I don't think he has anybody there.
Nobody's buying tickets.
Catch passes. They've always got 17 running backs. And that Zamir White.
He's okay, but he comes out, he has, 75 yards and then tweets. What is his Instagram caption? It's a pretty good caption, but then you look at his stat line. It said, if I wanted to play with kids, I'd have some of my own.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah.
The offense didn't score, right?
No, they did not score. It was a field goal.
And so after he runs the ball, all the Georgia fans yelled Zeus, which I did not really know.
You and thought they were booing.
Luckily, I'm sitting next to one guy. And, yeah, eventually I just finally asked him, like, what is going on after Zamir White runs the ball? And they said, yeah, we call him Zeus. I'm like, okay, I guess that makes sense now.
I do like the when you can chant something like that. So Kentucky had Toos back in the day. Mm-hmm. You get the whole crowd going, Toos. That's fun. I remember they used to do that with they didn't really do it with the Luke that won the Final Four, but they had a Luke that was 24 back in, like, the mid-2000s. You remember talking about? He was, like, a power forward. He was the dude that, like, landed on his neck. Luke Whitehead.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They
would
do the Luke with him. They didn't really do that with Hancock.
I was more of a kind of the same tone, the woo at UK.
Yeah,
They used to yell Deuce for Tim Couch.
Deuce, yeah.
They would, oh, nice.
A moo for Hishimu.
Remember the speaking of Tim Couch, remember that sound that you would hear in the stadium whenever the ball would go in the air and it was just like there's like a gasp,
yeah,
kind
like,
of, and like people
like
stand
it's like
up.
Time stops for a second.
We got it back.
It is.
You can hear that on the field, can't you, Charles?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Man. I always loved when a receiver would catch it in their chest. You could hear that pow. You know, that's when.
Yeah, because they weren't using their hands. Yeah. And just smack their shoulder pads. Yeah. Which hey, you still caught it, but. Yeah.
Man, having that back, though, to watch the ball sail through the air and you're like, huh? And then it actually – you see the end process. There was three 50-yard – y'all have heard the stat plenty of times, but three 50-plus-yard catches in the first three quarters. Kentucky had three in 2018, one in 2019, zero in 2020. Like, that's – that is the – you can't answer that question in one game. But – to have that out there, it should work wonders on this offense. I mean, I don't think we're going to see Missouri all of a sudden backing out and not blowing the box right away, Freddie, because that's just their MO.
Yeah.
But defenses, you got to play UK honest if they're going to have an offense like this.
Yeah, but if Missouri does back out and play zone to honor the deep pass, then that opens it up for Chris Rodriguez.
Yeah.
What do you do against Blaze Aldridge? Mm-hmm. You run right at him. Laterally, he is going to get tackles for loss. I'm telling you right now, he's that dynamic as far as across the line of scrimmage. What you can do against him is catch him in the chest with a helmet. You know, Luke Fortner, the SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week, the guards. I mean, it's going to be Horsey and Cox. It's going to be an inside game there where you go straight at those guys. You know, both Missouri linebackers are 6'2", 220-ish. So they run really well laterally, but you get up and down on them. That's how Kentucky can combat that.
Ooh, you know, an offensive stat that has – I have not really heard anyone mention. We're all celebrating the two receivers, 100 yards, and the 50-yard bombs and plays downfield. But I went to bed with a smile on my face Saturday night because four tight ends caught a pass.
Yeah.
And I just didn't believe that was something that could happen in this city.
What did we say over-under last
week?
Seven. Oh, seven catches.
Mm-hmm. We didn't get seven catches, but I think having four different tight ends catch one, that might even be more impressive.
I think that made up for it.
Jordan
Dingle.
That catch. Yeah. That was just a great play in general.
And Bo Allen waited. I mean, waited and waited till it was a perfect time.
Took one to the jaw.
Did take one.
He felt that one Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you said Blaze again, so I had to look up some American Gladiator names. The one I remember most was Nitro.
Nitro was great.
Yeah, he was the big blonde, spiky hair. He was mm-hmm. the gladiator.
Turbo, what about Turbo?
Turbo was in there. There was Bronco.
I don't remember Bronco.
I don't remember.
Nitro and Turbo were big. I might have had Nitro and Turbo posters.
The one I remember too, Malibu.
I didn't like Malibu.
No, Malibu.
He was too Malibu for me.
Yeah, and he really fit his name. His real name was Darren McBee. He looked more like a Malibu.
I'm going to have to go home and watch some of these.
Storm.
I remember Storm?
Yeah.
That was
Electra.
A female, right?
Yep. And then, here's another female, Jazz.
Jazz? Who were, you know, to combine with football, what we have, Larry Zonka on the call?
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Former NFL legend.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What?
Part of the 72 Dolphins.
Bully is also a great American Gladiator nickname. He would be the modern. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Abule asked for a nickname last week after one of the practices, and he asked the media. He was like, why don't you all give me one? And I wasn't really in my zone, so I didn't offer one up. But there is, if we ever need a contest, a player on the team actively looking for a nickname. He's next to a bully, and then he was calling Josh Pascal Terminator. So we have Terminator, Bully, and then Abule Fitzgerald needs something.
Abule, though, is like also kind of like a bully.
I almost threw it out. It's like you got Bully and Abule. Just go with it.
It sounds pretty good.
You're standing next to each other.
And then Ox is right behind him. Like, dude, I mean, come on. If there was ever a person more perfectly named, I mean, that's just so apt. He even has the bull ring. Like, he's got, like, a nose ring. Yeah. It's not the one, like
– the true –
it's not the true bull ring through the bottom of his nose. He's just got the big ring on the side, but still.
He should add, like, a gigantic one like a bull would have and wear it in games. Like, could you imagine lining up from someone named Ox that had a nose ring like that?
One thing I saw watching an ACC football team play last night, Ole Miss had some mouthpieces that looked like shark teeth. I thought that was pretty cool.
I was really proud of their swag last night, including the L's down.
Man.
I just think those powder blues are pretty good looking.
Can I just say it? I'm an Ole Miss fan. I'm saying it. I've thought it for years because the Grove is awesome. Mm-hmm.
I love Lane
Kiffin.
I used
to not like Lane Kiffin, but he gets there and he starts tweeting, talking trash about stealing recruits and Mary Flipmas and all the fun they're having. Obviously, Kentucky's number one, but a very, very distant second, especially when they're playing against Louisville. I'm liking what Ole Miss is doing right now.
What was the final score?
43-24? Is that it? Something like that?
They ended up scoring points. But
so
it was,
what would the final score have been if Kiff would have been on the sideline?
All of it.
Seriously.
10.
They had touchdowns called back, too. You know,
Kiff would have scored the last play of the game. That when they took a knee, that he would not.
Did you see the hat he put on? The
yes.
little.
Golly.
There's the video they put out before.
Oh,
they did
the Louisville.
They did a chef's kiss version of trolling Louisville.
And the worst part is, though, is we really aren't going to get to enjoy the beatdown because, like, see, this is the one thing, the one disadvantage of moving Governor's Cup to Rivalry Weekend, Freddie, is because how much fun would it have been Sunday afternoon, nothing's going on except watching Kentucky just embarrass Louisville on their home field. That place would have been packed because Louisville fans – they actually thought they were good at football. They actually believe that Scott Satterfield is a competent coach that can get quality football players there, even though most of his players are from, like, JUCO and the FCS. That's where we're going to get our players. We're not going to recruit the guys in Kentucky. We're going to go to some Georgia military academy to get all of our fullbacks. They actually believed that they were good. We tried to tell them that they were bad. And then they just had to experience that last night. And Ole Miss got to have all the fun. We should have been having that fun. Instead, there's going to be more Kentucky. It's going to be like a Vanderbilt football game, Freddie. There's going to be more Kentucky fans than Louisville fans there. Scott Satterfield's not going to be on the sideline. And it's going to be another, you know, 56-6 kind of game.
Sounds awesome, honestly.
Yeah, they got EKU Saturday.
It'd be much more fun, though.
I know.
If they cared, you know, like they're not even going to care anymore. And I just, Freddie, I hope we get a – almost like Dorian Baker situation, except like they don't have the Dorian Baker and they just lose to EKU.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's a lot of concerns if you're a Louisville fan. That there's a lot of concerns there. Yeah, obvious concerns.
There were some FCS teams that won last weekend. I watched. I turned on late Saturday or no Friday night, Colorado State against South Dakota. And I was like, or South Dakota State. Mm-hmm. It's like Jackrabbits. They're pretty good, aren't they? And I went to look, and I saw that Colorado State was favored by 2 points. They've lost by 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Wasn't even close. Eastern Illinois upset UNLV in double overtime.
Washington got beat by Montana.
Yeah, fighting Reese Phillips's, the Grizz.
The ETSU Buccaneers beat
that was the big
Vanderbilt.
One. That was the big one. That's,
golly. 20-3, they routed them.
Yeah.
You know, Vandy, they're an SEC East rival. We need them to lose a little bit. But I'm to the point I just feel awful for them. Like, it's to the point it's too bad. It's like, okay, you got to get a little better.
Did you see the fumble?
I didn't see any of it but the final score, and it just made me feel bad for Nashville.
They were losing, I believe, 14-3 or 13-3. They were like, all right, fourth quarter start, and we need to come back. Ken Seals, lead us to victory. And he pulls back the pass, cocks it back, and just drops the ball. ETSU picks it up and takes it to the house. Like,
see, that blows in my mind because he's a serviceable quarterback. They got three
or
four
really
good receivers. How did they get that bad that quick?
Well, they already have a new coordinator.
Right? Yeah,
they've already switched coordinators after 1 week.
Have they? Yeah.
Was it after 1 week or was it – They fired him before the
week. Yeah, I think they fired him before and announced it today.
Yeah, yeah. So they switched play callers before the start of the season. Have you ever heard of that, Freddie?
No.
First year head coach. All right, this is going to be my offense coordinator. He's my guy. And then, oh, wait, actually, we're changing to somebody else.
How bad was that guy?
It's one thing if you've got a position coach and, like, a quality control guy switching roles. It's another thing if you're taking out your play caller. And I just
– it just goes to reality versus perception. And in today's world, everything is social media perception. All I've seen are Vanderbilt
– look at us.
Look at us. Look at the locker room. And they got excited about that. We're going to – own the 615 and all this.
They got Barton Simmons in there doing his – they're like, ooh.
Got routed by ETSU. Randy Sanders.
An in-state school. Like, that's
– that's – they're not going to hear the end of that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, seriously, they might as well stop recruiting in-state now.
Shout out to Randy Sanders.
Look at the topics we've just hit on. We've got Vandy's terrible.
Uh-huh.
I mean, obviously that's a win.
Yep.
Louisville's terrible. Look at that as a win. We just talked about how Georgia's not as good as Georgia looks. We know Tennessee's down. They looked bad Thursday. Missouri, we're about to find out. Mississippi State looked like crap. They barely pulled that out.
Man.
All these teams, a lot of them you've been an underdog to, or at least a coin flip, at least through week one, Kentucky's schedule is looking easier than we expected, and the offense is kind of matching the excitement we were hoping for.
Florida had a
– Florida?
Was closer than I thought with Florida Atlantic.
Did you see Emory Jones' stat line?
I did.
4.1 yards per attempt.
I did.
That's not – not great.
What worries about me is about Florida's Richardson, the freshman quarterback.
Well, yeah, it's the ultimate, like, can he just be good enough to get to the Kentucky game?
Yeah.
That happen?
Yeah.
And I'm not crying, 12-0, but, I mean, really, every team on the schedule, could say, played a little below expectations. LSU.
They have Booty, the player, the receiver, Booty. He is good. I mean – their quarterbacks are supposed to be good, Freddie, but, like, UCLA was doing whatever they wanted against them, man. They did not look good.
The fact that LSU was last in the country in pass defense, allowed over 300 yards per game, and then followed that up by a terrible outing against UCLA with the two best corners in America, Eli Ricks and Derek Stingley. There's something wrong in Baton Rouge. I don't know what it is. But there's something wrong because you cannot be that talented and still get beat like that. They got physically whipped against UCLA, which is odd for a big –
You don't get physically whipped by the Pac-12.
UCLA beat them up, and that's something that it's kind of shocking. I had UCLA as one of the games that I hit on. Before I retired weekend.
But the DTR was terrible against Hawaii, and he looked like freaking Heisman Trophy contender.
Against two first-round corners.
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
I will say that was a great-looking uniform game, too. That was another one. Mix up the – what was it, the little sissy blue?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he said? Was it sissy blue?
Is that a humble –
get your ass on down here with your sissy blue shirt.
Is that a humble brag because you can see colors?
Freddie, I mean, come on. Like, I'm sorry.
Seriously.
Thankfully you didn't, because Louisville's uniforms were once again just awful looking.
Yeah, that the chrome helmets, the gimmicks, it's run its course. It's fun when you do it every once in a while, every game. Come on, that's what, like, Western does. No offense. Hey, Western, I wish they were playing Louisville this year, because they would beat the ever-living hell out of them.
Might get a bowl game. Actually, just kidding. Louisville's not getting a bowl game.
No, Western, their quarterback threw 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, no, Western looked great.
Man.
Well, good thing if you're an ACC fan is this week you may get a couple wins.
Yeah. Well,
Pitt plays Tennessee. Pitt's pretty good. Probably will beat Tennessee. North Carolina State will beat Mississippi State. Man,
Tennessee
so
bad, too.
No.
I mean, remember when they were talking about, like, Joe Milton couldn't do it in Michigan? Like,
I watched the Tennessee game on a backyard projector at a Tennessee watch party. I, being the Kentucky fan of the group, had a great time listening to them not even try. I thought they'd at least try to talk themselves into it. I mean, even as they're scoring, they're like, oh, we still look bad. Like, I mean, Milton missed 2 wide open throws downfield. I mean, guy would have walked in the end zone. He missed him by 30 yards. So it was just a great experience to sit there and watch the Vols in their first game just already surrender. I mean, they're up 20, and they're watching it going, yeah, we still don't look good.
And then they tried to cover, too, to, like, make up for it, and couldn't even do that.
Here's how I watch. When Tennessee started out good, I turned it off because I get too nervous. I was thinking, oh, God, they are going to look good. And then I turned it back over. I said, I'm not going to turn it over until halftime. And I was thinking, it's got to be 40 to nothing. It was 14-16. Yeah. Okay, now I can watch it. Now I can settle back and watch
it. They look really bad, having watched just about every snap. But I will give them credit. Being the first game, I didn't watch week zero. That was my first sit down, turn on a college football game in the beginning to watch it all. Even their stupid Vol walk and all their orange, it was a great atmosphere to see it to kick off kind of the first, to me, the big weekend of college
football.
Well,
and that's why Ole Miss Louisville just soiled a great weekend. I mean, it was fun for us.
Nobody but that
Florida State, Doak Walker or Doak Campbell was – That was, and then they had Chief Osceola out there. You had
the Bobby tribute.
They had the glitter guys were back, which, man, if that's your stick, you got to get a new one. Like, they're picking glitter out of all sorts of crevices all week long. Like, you ain't getting that out. That place was rocking. That place was rolling.
The first drive of that game, how about our boy Michael Mayer from up the road?
Yeah.
I mean, they just went to him all the way down the field for that first score. And for him to be a sophomore, true sophomore.
He's going to be a first-round pick in the 2024 draft. Big. He's going to finish his junior year, go to the NFL, be a first-round pick.
How many people were at the game last night? They said, what, 30,000?
Oh, there was 30? Maybe seven.
It didn't look too good.
It was so bad. It was did not look good. But Mayer, it was kind of funny, though, because they kept going to him, and there was one catch he had. Where the poor safety just looked like a pinball machine bouncing off him. But they went to him on the final drive whenever they were trying to win in regulation. And he made one catch to start it. And I tweeted out something like, you know, man, that guy, he is so good. And next play, drops it.
He did have a really bad drop.
And that would have set up the field goal. And so we ended up getting overtime. But, hey, the Roush fade, it's always alive and well. But what also is good to know is that when you listen to us, you're in good hands because we're giving you the best knowledge to go win some money with our friends over at Prize Picks. And I know that you all – Freddie, I know you're saying you're hanging up, but let me try to convince you. Football is back, and you don't have to pick teams. You can pick players. So when you know that Chris Rodriguez needs to get over the century mark, he's only 105 yards. Play with Prize Picks, and – you can get some money playing that way.
Yeah.
Just use the promo code KSR with Prize Picks. Yeah. You know Rodriguez is going to get 105. Play him, parlay him with another guy. Boom, easy peasy lemon squeezy.
This is why you don't get beat on back doors or stupid things at the end. You just find your guy. You know what he needs to get done, and you have him do it, and you get paid. And Roush, what states were they in?
Oh, they're in a lot of states. But
did you include that last week?
Yeah, I did include
it. Okay, good. That was a great ad read.
It was a great ad read. But Prize Picks really is the simplest form of real money in daily fantasy sports. It pits you against the numbers. And it's not just college football. We've got NFL back this Thursday with the Bucks and the Cowboys. I'm sorry about your Cowboys. It's going to get really ugly. But download the Prize Picks app or visit prizepicks.com. Sign up using the code KSR to get an instant 100% bonus on up to $100 on your first deposit. Don't forget, Prize Picks app, prizepicks.com. Use the code KSR to claim your bonus today. And it really is nice because there are times when, like, I live close to Indiana. I'll drive over to use their sports gambling services, and I can't do that in Kentucky, so I just whip out the Prize Picks app. It's a really clean, easy-to-use app. Do that this weekend. Have a great time. Use that promo code KSR with our friends at Prize Picks. Speaking of picks, Freddie, you mentioned it. It's a pretty weak slate this week. This week, too. Kentucky-Missouri really is going to be one of the premier matchups. I know game day is going to go to what do they call that? What do they call that rivalry? Iowa State, Iowa.
Cy-Hawk.
The Cy-Hawk?
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Sounds good.
Cyclones, Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This should be a pretty good game. Iowa.
Iowa State didn't look good. Yeah, that Saturday.
I think Iowa might roll. Now Indiana is fraudulent. We've been telling you that for a while. In Dunedin.
Was that just on one jersey? Or
I hope so.
How do you get that on one jersey? Like, don't they make them all at, like, one time?
Here's what I thought. I don't care. I assume it's just one. I don't care if I'm a walk-on. I look at them and say, I'm not wearing that. That is a disgrace. That's an embarrassment to me. I know I'm going to be mocked on the internet. Like, you cannot expect me to put that on.
Put, like, tape over it or something? Like, you.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm – find a way to find another one. You're not going to make a meme out of me.
Could we have our first lawsuit for NIL? that limited that guy's ability to make money buying equipment.
It did.
Infractured by the school.
He's going to say, why would anyone want to endorse me when I can't even spell Indiana right on my shirt?
I'd sue Adidas.
I'd sue Indiana. Yep. I'd sue Penix Jr. for losing.
My gosh, he was like Jared Garantano out there, just like throwing the ball to Iowa.
Shout out Washington State. Garantano looking the same there.
Really? I did not keep up with that.
Yeah.
Did they?
I get daily Garantano updates from my dad. Not daily, like Saturdays after a game. Like Monday morning, dad read message boards checking on his boy Garantano.
That Pitt-Tennessee game, though, could be pretty fun. It opened as a pick 'em. Pitt is a 3.5-point favorite in Knoxville.
I thought they'd at least give Tennessee just a little.
Okay. The wonkiest line of the week. South Carolina is playing East Carolina. East Carolina, I thought, was going to do well against App State. App State beat the brakes off them. Were you at that game, Chuck?
I was.
That was
– Oh, you did a doubleheader this week.
I did.
How did you go that game?
It was Thursday in Charlotte.
Thursday night.
Yeah.
I was in Charlotte.
Yeah, they had two Dukes Mayos. But
it was really three. Charlotte played Duke.
And beat Duke.
It wasn't – yeah.
That was an awesome game. Mm-hmm. I was watching.
If I would have done that, I probably would have gone. But I saw the line and went, oh, I remember playing Charlotte. I mean, there's no way, right?
Yeah, no, Duke's really bad. We might be fading Duke this year.
Okay.
Yeah, that might be a good play.
Tell me twice.
But South Carolina, SEC program, Shane Beamer, playing an East Carolina team that got dog-walked by App State, for the lack of a better term. South Carolina opens as 3-point favorites. East Carolina, 2-point favorite as of Tuesday.
It's already
Tuesday
flipped.
Morning. Yeah, it flipped. It went back to a pick 'em since this morning. I saw it at -2 this morning, so I wanted to embarrass South Carolina a little bit. If South Carolina doesn't win this ball game, the wheels might just.
Yeah.
Again, perception of reality. Shane Beamer won the offseason with recruiting videos and, you know, all this social media stuff. They did win. Hey, give them credit. One with a GA playing quarterback.
Zeb.
Against Eastern Illinois, who was 1-5 last year.
Yeah, they beat – that was Zebulon.
Yeah, it's an FCS team, so we'll see.
I went to Odd Shark for the score simulation. Okay. It has East Carolina winning 27-25.
Huh. Interesting.
Now, that thing's crap, but it's fun to go look at. And,
yeah, it was fun to look at the S&P Plus picks, too, that computer, because it was – it did bad. It did real, real bad this first weekend. And that's what's funny.
They usually do the first week, the computers.
Yeah, because it takes a while to catch up. You got to get the data on the current teams and not just projecting from the last one. But what was also something to notice, a lot of unders hit. A lot of unders. Mm-hmm. And, man, that the first half under in Clemson, Georgia, was 24.5. They scored 13 total points in the game, I think. They're right, 10-3? Yeah. So, wow.
What's the Roush lock of the week? I know you've got your eyes staring one down. Where are you pulling out the hammer?
See, I haven't figured it out quite yet.
The answer is Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Probably is, isn't it?
See, I hate the homer picks, but if you look at the board, just saying, if I were just a random Joe on the street that liked gambling on football with no dog in any fight, that one would jump out at me.
Coastal Carolina is a 25.5-point favorite over Kansas. Like, what? That is supposed to be – evenly matched, like, not no, it's not supposed to be evenly matched. Power five versus it, crazy. I will say this is also Homer Roush pick. Purdue was shaky a little, Oregon State, but they ended up pulling out the cover. UConn with Rhett and D'Edsel out. I know there might be some sort of rah rah, like, we're gonna, actually, now I'm talking myself into thinking that UConn will cover because they are at home and they got Edsel out of there, which, man, what a terrible UConn. Why are they still at football?
I don't know, but why are people talking about Liam Cohen going there?
That's Bruce Feldman. Like,
he wants some clicks.
Liam Cohen is not leaving the L.A. Rams to jockey himself into a position where he's the UConn head football coach. Is he just this proud Northeasterner that's going to resurrect this program?
I'm going to do it one year in the SEC, then I got to get over to UConn.
You can't say that with a straight face.
No, that's a quick way for your career that's going well to start going the other direction in a hurry.
Very quickly. Oh, that could be bad. Mississippi State versus NC State has potential to be a good game, and this could be a shining moment for the ACC.
Could be, finally, yeah.
Yeah, because, like
– what's the spread?
NC State, 2.5, open as a pick 'em. 2.5-point favorites. Yeah, interesting.
Wolfpack.
They look good Saturday.
Either way, I know you're going to be giving your official picks on free money, probably, Drew.
Yes. Later this week.
I think we also talked about maybe making some gambling videos or something.
Yeah.
We might have that in the tank.
Just, we got a lot of people who like to dabble in the gambling. We all need to get on one page and get some picks out there for the people.
I will say, though, it was much different when I had, like, memorized the spreads 3 weeks in advance. It's a much quicker turnaround.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting into the grind, you know. It's a lot different.
I even worry today that we might do – because free money we just do on, like, 30 minutes notice.
Right.
It's like, well, I hope he doesn't call today because I'm not prepared for this week.
Yeah. Well,
you got –
It takes a little while to get back into the zone.
We got NFL, too, so don't waste all your money on college.
Exactly. You got to spray the board.
Is there a line, Alabama-Mercer? I don't even see one. Is there a line?
No, they wouldn't do that to Mercer. That would be
– I don't think there's – Mercer beat a team 69-0. I don't even think they were affiliated with the NCAA. Shout out to the Mercer kicker for intentionally missing the 7th PAT, too. Like, good on him. Or, excuse me, the 10th PAT.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think you could ever go from as dramatic as playing a team that's not even a real like they are not
they
in the NCAA.
Bishop Sycamore.
Yeah, like but they actually are a school, but I think it's like NAIA maybe to playing Alabama.
Yeah. Oh Lord.
It's turning up on its head, turning upside down on its head.
I mean, sir, what is Alabama going to win by 70? Like, what's going
to
happen?
Probably. If they wanted to.
Yeah. One game that actually
hold on, Odd Shark has it at 65-0.
Oh,
God.
One game that's going to be fun to watch, the Holy War after UK beats Missouri. Utah at BYU. Utah's 6-7 point favorite.
It's a good game.
That'll be fun. They get after in that game.
Yes,
that's a physical
do.
Game. Yeah. I would take the under. So whatever it is, go under. It's going to be a low-scoring slobber knocker.
Life's too short to bet the under.
Oh, I'm living the short life, so I'm going to keep cheering against points.
I stay away from games I can't really watch, and you and I will be in the press box writing about Kentucky's 3-touchdown victory over Missouri long into the night Saturday.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So I probably won't see that one.
Yeah, and it's a shame. The one down of the night game, we can't have a signing afterwards, but I thought it was a pretty solid turnout to come see Josh Pascoe and Yusuf Corker. Cool to see them. You know, they're hanging out for about an hour, make some cash, meet some fans, all while, like, there was half-naked dudes smashing guitars over their heads outside. That was – you were talking –
going on.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. It was a scene here at KS Bar Saturday. It's going to be a scene this Saturday between the Cats and Missouri. The game is not sold out yet.
Oh, really?
Need to get there.
And there, I mean, we heard Stoops twice yesterday. Both times he talked, begging for it.
Vince Merrill
tweeting about it.
I mean,
you're about to go talk to Liam Cohen. I'm sure he'll say it. They clearly want full fan support for this one.
And I think they're going to have a big recruiting weekend. Yeah. They had a guy up here by the name of Emil Wagner over the weekend, and that things are looking good there. You go out, you put a good showing. You show Dan Key how you just run it up on SEC teams, and be a lot of fun. And the Big Blue Nation plays a big part in this. You're going to want to be here. Chuck, I know you're not missing this one, right? You don't have any more scouting reports to compile for us?
You've got 2 Saturdays worth of tailgating to do this week.
Wedding.
You're kidding.
This is unbelievable. I'm sick to my stomach.
Guys, I don't want to give you this information.
Oh, my goodness.
Chuck, just lie to us, okay?
Wow. I'm so disappointed.
All right. Go back and delete it. I can't lie. I'm not a liar. But best believe – This game will be getting streamed on this the entire time.
No, hold on. I want to read you the exact words of the big dog.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss one word.
The biggest game since
BBN,
2018.
Which
I
believe includes Charles Walker. We need you this weekend. Biggest game since 2018 at Florida. Let's pack the house and cheer loud. Go Big Blue. It does not say anything about weddings.
We need you. Uncle Sam. Uncle Mark, Uncle Vince needs you to show up and pack the Krogue.
I don't know what you want me to do here, guys. My hands are full. They're tied. They're tied and full.
You know
they're
exactly,
tied behind my back and then they're full.
You know don't exactly filled, what we want you to
full.
Do.
Big Blue Nation, don't be a Charles Walker, okay?
Seriously, don't be a Charles Walker.
Don't be a
get
Charles
out to the
Walker
game
because
and
you're
be loud
have,
enough for me.
So, having the tailgates back was nice, Drew, but it was like an hour or two.
It was practice. It was like a dress rehearsal.
Now this Saturday is going to be absolutely amazing.
You know what was fun? Is folks took their tailgate down at Kroger Field and tailgate here at KS Bar.
That was pretty fun, too.
My niece and her tailgate crew, they broke it down over there, just moved it over here to watch wrestling.
Gosh, it is going to be
quite a day.
It's going to be a party at the Krogue. Kentucky takes on Missouri. Connor Bazelak, Connor Schmazelak, like Eli Drinkwitz.
I like
more like Eli Stukiewicz.
Drink these. What? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That guy is a total nerd. He's a goober.
And we owe him one for last year. They picked on us
Stoops
at a time of weakness.
Isn't going to say it out loud, but he is ready to shove this team in the locker. He is ready to beat them up and down the field all night long, and it is going to be a sight to behold. We can't wait to see you there. Well, most of us can't wait to see you there. It's going to be great. Get your tickets today. Freddie, tell them.
Who you got in the first ever Kroger KSR Hometown Classic?
Oh, yeah. Got to get the Hometown Classic picks in.
Yeah. First ever.
Yep.
Shawnee at Jackson County, Charles.
I'm going the home team, Jackson County. I mean, I love both, and I love the story around the game. I love that we're doing the game. But I like the home atmosphere here.
See, I actually played in my first varsity football game against Shawnee. They're going to have a lot of spirit. They're going to fight hard, and I'm going with the Golden Eagles.
Charles, you've seen the hardware they're playing for, right?
It's a pretty awesome wrestling belt.
It's literally right here.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I'm taking Shawnee. You got to go with the Louisville's team, right?
Oh,
look at that.
Look at that. Look at that trophy.
That's pretty nice right there.
It's heavy, too.
What'd you have, Belk? Did Belk give you anything? Or Belk was after you?
Belk was after me.
What did you get?
I do have a bobblehead from TaxSlayer.
See, did you get free taxes? Look at that.
That
you
year,
get a belt.
That year, TaxSlayer Bowl was ranked as the worst bowl gifts of any bowl.
It was.
So, yes.
By far.
And a pair of Under Armour sunglasses.
It's going to be great, though, Freddie. I know you're excited to get out there.
I'm very excited.
I know Jackson County will show up big.
Yeah.
Can't wait to be there for the Kroger KSR Hometown Classic. It's going to be great. That's going to be fun. Friday night, Saturday is going to be nuts. We're going to be getting wild at KS Barton Grill.
Well, some of us will.
Yeah, some of us will. Charles Walker can kick rocks. This has been the KSR Football Podcast.
And peep the technique. Don't sweat the technique.